Well, we're working through, as we started last week, these 12 days of Christmas. And if you remember, we were telling a story or talking about a story that is tied to England and why this song was written. A story is told about the fact that it was code language to teach theology to their children because there was religious persecution going on in England at that time. And ultimately that led to many leaving England actually to come to the New World here in America that drove them to do that. If you remember what the different representations as we started working through it, the partridge in a pear tree was a representation of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then the two turtle doves were the Old and New Testament. And then the three French hens were the three gifts of the wise men, and keeping that in line. Well, last week I had opportunity to hear the Muppets sing the 12 Days of Christmas, and I know that really blessed your heart. Back in 96 at the Indiana University, there was an a cappella group called Straight No Chaser that put together a fun twist on the 12 Days of Christmas. I hope you enjoy this.
On the first day of Christmas, aren't you looking to me? A partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, aren't you looking to me? Two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas,
isn't music beautiful? Just amazing. Hey, let's pray. Father, thank you for the beauty of harmony, melody, how you gave us that gift. And we're grateful. And now as we're focusing our attention on this story and some truths that we can draw from it, some doctrine, some theology, thank you that right now the persecution is held back. And we were able to come here today without fear. And I ask you that we would appreciate that fact and that we would be people that would cherish this and hold to it. And even if we don't feel it sometimes, there's times where we just don't feel this, but we know it's true. And so, God, I ask you, God, to do your work in each heart here this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're at day four. And something that came to mind for me was the idea of being vocal. If you want to take notes, there's a section in your bulletin there at the end that you can fill in some blanks and write in some items as we work through this together. But we come to four calling birds. And the representation in the story is the revealing of the life of Christ in the four Gospels, in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Look at this verse, this amazing, actually a couple verses here in the book of John, near the end of it. John 20, looking at verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So, Jesus is exclusive. He calls people to himself. That's what the Gospels are, these four calling birds. He's calling people to himself, but he doesn't allow for it to be many roads to him. There's one way to the Father, and it's through the person of Jesus Christ. And so, like birds that are calling out, and if you've enjoyed that, I know I enjoy that in the morning when you hear the birds singing, and they're up early, and they're singing, and it's distinct. They're calling out loud, and they're calling out with their distinctive voices. These four Gospels, and when we were working through Luke together, when we were working through Mark together, I was trying to get across the point that I looked at it as a person taking snapshots from a certain angle. Matthew was putting before us that Jesus was king, and Mark was putting before us that Jesus was a servant. And Luke was putting before us that Jesus was a man. And John was putting before us that Jesus was God. And so all these different angles, some of them are similar in their stories. That's why they're called the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But there always seems to be a different angle. And it's as if it's four different birds with four different types of voices sharing one truth. And that truth is Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the good news. He's the one that we look to. Look at this in Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. And so as Isaiah put this out, it's as if these four Gospels spread about the good news of Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection. So these four calling birds remind us that we too need to be trumpets. God is calling us to be vocal. This relationship with Jesus Christ is personal, but it's not private. we can't keep that to ourselves. Aren't you glad that somebody shared it with you? Somebody did that. Somebody took the time and made the effort to share that with you. And so you and I are called to be calling birds also. I like this in Jeremiah 33:3. It says this, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." What a great verse. That Jeremiah is encouraged to call out to the Lord. So while we call out to others, there is going to be times where we need to call out to the Lord. I don't know if you have those times. Maybe it lasts a long time and you feel like, I'm calling him all the time. Keep calling. He hears. And so God invited Jeremiah's prayer, which appeals to him to fulfill the aspects of his promises that he guarantees he will attend to. And then he guarantees that that prayer is going to be answered. And so I want to encourage you today, because some of you may feel like, I've been calling and calling, and I don't think he hears me. Remember that this Heavenly Father loves you very much. And even if there's times where you don't feel like it, because if we go by feelings, we can be so deceived and so discouraged. Hold on to him. Day 5. Be fair. Be fair. I want you at this Christmas time to be vocal. You have opportunities to share with individuals. It's called Christmas. So his name shows up during this time of the year. And then we have an opportunity here to be fair. The 5 gold rings. And by the way, my daughter-in-law straightened me out on something. When we were taught, this is Liz back in, this is last year actually, when I was thinking about this thing and going through the song, and I was thinking about, and I'm still putting together the Christmas card. And we've got 5 grandchildren, so they'll be our 5 gold rings. But when I was singing that part, I go, 5 golden rings. And she goes, it's not 5 golden rings. It's 5 gold rings. And so I said, I don't think you're right on this one. Golden ring. I mean, it works. Golden rings. Doesn't it? Did it sound okay? All right. I looked it up. Mr. Google. She was right. You know how hard that was for me? That's like the Fonz saying that, you know? I was wrong. 5 gold rings. You know, gold rings are among the most valuable and treasured of all gifts. We give it when there's engagement rings, when there's wedding bands. These 5 gold rings represent the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's called the Pentateuch or the Torah. And these are the 5 books of Moses. These are the foundation of our scriptures, where we get the law. Where we hear about things like creation and the fall of man and the history of God's chosen people and the 10 commandments. We are handed these 5 gold rings, and from that builds up all of these other things that you and I are blessed with. And we find out that we've got this Savior named Jesus who fulfills the law, who is the answer to the fall of man, and who even in Genesis 3, when man falls, and we get to the 15th verse, we hear a little bit of a prophecy about someone that would come that would crush the serpent's head. This is gold. This is something that you and I can hold on to that has deep, deep value. But as I was thinking about this, and remember, I've been telling you the story, and I looked it up, and it said in some renditions or some people that did research, oh, that never happened. Well, sometimes you find out later that, no, actually it did happen. But let's say it didn't. Something that came to my mind as I was thinking about five gold rings is the fact that you and I are called to be fair with people, to treat people fairly. We'll come in contact with all different types of people, all different types of groups, all different races, all different economic standards, all, we could go on of the differences. Let me ask you, how do you treat people? What makes you think, well, this person is important and this person isn't? In the life of the Christian, we're not allowed to lift up somebody above somebody else. Look at this in James chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Isn't that convicting? That just hits me. I'm thinking, Father, I don't want to treat people unfairly. I want to treat people with dignity, all people with dignity. So while Jews commonly wore rings, few could afford gold ones. However, there are some reports that in the ancient world, the most ostentatious people wore rings on every finger but one to show their economic status. And so James takes that into account, and he puts those verses in there to say to you and to me, as brothers and sisters in Christ, treat people as you would want to be treated, and don't elevate somebody over somebody else. It's a good reminder. It's a good reminder at Christmas time, but it's also a good reminder anytime. Day 6, be pursuing. Be pursuing. 6, geese a-laying. In many cultures, eggs symbolize new life. In fact, that's where we get the Easter egg idea from. It's a representation of new life. You do know that most of our holidays actually have pagan roots, and Christians just found a way to come alongside them and say, I like this time of the year. I want to enjoy it, but I want to enjoy it for the right reasons. And so that's what was going on there. Well, 6 geese laying eggs become reminders of the 6 days of creation. And I want you to understand something here, because you may hear that and you just bet, well, yeah. But as time goes by, more and more, just the idea of believing in 6 literal days of creation is attacked. It's thought of as, you actually believe that God created the world in 6 days? Yeah, And so this is a fundamental truth that's tied to this song. And he did that. He did this creation. God, by his word, brought forth life on earth. This Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This even shows up in politics. I don't know if you knew, but Herschel Walker is running for Senate in Georgia. And he is thought of as a fool because he believes that story. This is the age we live in. And as time goes by, it's going to continue. And it's nothing new. We're not shocked by this. But I want you to know that theologically, that's why these things are important. But even beyond the 6 days of Christmas or 6 days of creation, this also reminds me to be pursuing. Look at this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, a famous verse that we've read so many times. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, I went one time, Rob actually invited me out to watch hunting of geese and what's involved with that, being in a blind and the whole process. And it had me look differently at geese and watching it. But you know that when they fly, there's that V. And you know why one side's longer than the other? There's more geese on it, correct? I had to, I'm sorry. But also, there's scientific reasons that are tied to our Creator God. Geese pursue each other. Do you know that geese can fly farther than eagles? There's reasons. Researchers have learned that each bird flapping its wing in V formation creates an uplift for the bird immediately behind it. And by flying in that V formation, the flock adds at least 71% greater flying range if a bird flew on its own. And so at this Christmas time, I was looking up videos because sometimes just seeing this or the idea of something that you and I, they fly above us and it's pretty good. They're honking, they're making noise. But God put in the birds these things. And I saw a video entitled Lessons from the Geese, and I thought you'd enjoy it too. So take a listen and look at this little video concerning.
Lessons of the geese. In the fall, when you see geese heading south for the winter, flying in the V formation, pause a moment and appreciate the beauty of the flight. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates uplift for the bird behind it. By flying in the V formation, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. Similar to people who are part of a team, the geese reach their goal quicker and easier because they travel on the trust of one another and lift each other up along the way. When a goose falls out of formation, it feels the drag and the resistance of trying to go through it alone. As it quickly repositions itself into the bee, it once again has the advantage of the power of the flock. If we benefit from the lessons of the geese, we will stay in formation with those who are headed in the same way that we are going. And if for a time we fall out of the team, will return to the safety and power of the bee. When the lead goose gets tired, he rotates back into the bee, and another goose takes over. It pays to share leadership and take turns doing hard jobs. The geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep their speed. Words of support and inspiration help energize those on the front line, helping them to keep pace in spite of the day-to-day pressures and fatigue. It is important that our honking be encouraging. Otherwise, it's just, well, honking. Finally, when a goose gets sick or wounded and falls out, two geese fall out of the formation and follow the injured one down to help and protect him. They stay with him until he is either able to fly or passes on. Then they launch out with another formation to catch up with their group. And just as the geese do, we will stand by each other when things get rough. We will stay in formation with those headed where we want to go. The next time you see a formation geese, remember their message. The geese depend on teamwork for their life's journey. And as people, one of the most rewarding and fulfilling experiences in life is to be a contributing member of a team.
So at this Christmas time, when the temptation would be, and every now and then it's like, I remember, that's, you remember the story where when all of that stuff hit Mary and she stops and she treasures in her heart what's happened. I also want you to treasure the fact that you have a group of people around you that love you very much. And if you're in need, please make us aware of that. Sometimes we get caught up in our own kind of honking and we're not listening to others. And it would be good for us to hear and be an encouragement to one another. So let's be people that are vocal and people that are fair and then people that are pursuing. This is the calling of God on our lives as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray. Father, once again, our focus, we desire to be on you. You placed all of these things in creation. The stars and the heavens, they declare your glory. But also, we find out as we looked in the book of Romans that these things were placed to give evidence, to have you revealed in the general revelation to teach us. And so it's nice that we can look at these different animals from the animal kingdom and be mesmerized by it and floored by it. But also you did that also to teach us lessons. So thank you, God. And I ask you now that as we're continuing on through this season of the year, that we would be those things that you've called us to, and remember the theology, tie in the scriptures, and glory in the fact that we don't have to hide it in a song, but also, since we don't have to hide it, that we would be willing to share, because we live in a world where everybody else seems to be more than willing to share about their loves. I ask you to help us to do the same. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.